Chapter 27 Asa Gilbert Aroused. You are not aroused to this action by the allurements of wealth, pride, or power. The impetus comes from above. It is moral, spiritual, divine. Mary Baker Eddy, 1881. On the 31st day of the first month of 1881, the Massachusetts Metaphysical College received its charter from the state of Massachusetts, quote, to teach pathology, ontology, therapeutics, moral science, metaphysics, and their adaptation to the treatment of disease, end quote. The seven charter members were Mrs. Eddy, James Howard, Samuel P. Bancroft, William F. Walker, James Wiley, Edgar F. Woodbury, and Charles J. Eastman, M.D. On the same day the charter was issued, business of greater importance was being transacted in Cambridge. Mrs. Eddy had called upon Mr. John Wilson at the University Press and told him the story of the publication of Science and Health, displaying copies of the first and second editions. Dr. Eddy had contacted Mr. Wilson the previous April, but the bid he had received at that time was now obsolete, for their former printer had destroyed all the usable plates. After covering everything else, Mrs. Eddy explained their financial situation, said she could give him a few $100, but not half the cost in advance, that she knew she could sell the book as he would produce it to meet the cost, but could not pay in full on delivery. To his own utter astonishment, from that day forward, Mr. Wilson accepted the order without a moment's hesitation. Thus began a long and fruitful relationship between these two upstanding New Englanders, both of Scottish ancestry. Though busy with her book, college, teaching, and students, Mrs. Eddy did find a few moments for a young friend, Miss Alice Sibley, whom she had met 2 years earlier. This letter, written to the 16-year-old Miss Sibley, sometime in February of 1881, shows her continuing interest in young people and also her devotion to duty as mother to the whole human family. That word embraces to my mind all the graces. I wish, oh, I wish, but vainly I had my fancy free to write you a little offering, but will sometime. I have no broken wing, only a folded one. Now, dear, go forth into the fields, drink in the breeze, be happy and free. Oh, the bliss of freedom! I would I were a child again, but you, dear one, are now both child and woman. You are, in other words, when I descend to pet names, my naughty wild girl, wayward in goodness, impulsive as the March wind, and sunny as the flowers. I hope you will remain at your best all the time next Sabbath, and not get impatient with me, because I have passed the heyday of life, and have now no time for the sweet joys of friendship, but must show my love for you all, working at the treadmill of metaphysics. By spring, the Howard family had moved to Lynn, and were residing with the Eddies at 8 Broad Street. And in the spring, Mrs. Eddy was teaching a class, which included several students who had left Arends in search of true metaphysics. One of these, Mrs. Elizabeth Stewart, told of Arends' bitter attacks against Mrs. Eddy, and of how he ordered his students to work against her mentally. Gilbert Eddy was incensed. That anyone could do such a thing was almost inconceivable, but that this man whom he had taught, befriended, and defended, would maliciously attack his spiritual benefactor was an outrage. When Arends published a second pamphlet, a short time later, claiming authorship under the title The Understanding of Christianity, or God, to material almost completely lifted from Mrs. Eddy's writings, Dr. Eddy rose in righteous indignation. He wrote a foreword to the Science and Health, now in press, which began, "To the public. While this third edition of Science and Health was in press, a certain man set afloat a pamphlet, the contents of which he took from Mrs. Eddy's works, published in 1870 and 1878, all of which can be found in this edition in chapters Recapitulation and Platform of Christian Scientists. This pamphlet is prefaced with the following pretext. Quote, "In preparing this work, we have made use of some thoughts contained in a work by Eddy," end quote, and then went on to repeat her words verbatim in over 30 pages, as the following extracts will show. After several pages of examples, including some unhealthy original statements by Arends, he continues, "Mrs. Eddy's works are the outgrowths of her life. I never knew so unselfish an individual, or one so tireless in what she considers her duty. It would require ages and God's mercy to make the ignorant hypocrite who published that pamphlet originate its contents. His prattings are colored by his character. They cannot impart the hue of ethics, but leave his own impress on what he takes. He knows less of metaphysics than any decently honest man." The proof of these last statements was not merely by induction. Elizabeth Stewart and her friend Jane Straw had left Arends to study with Mrs. Eddy. After completing Mrs. Eddy's class, they had written and signed the following statement on the 15th of April. "We studied Mrs. Eddy's system of metaphysical healing of Edward J. Arends, but he did not understand it as we have since learned. And we did not learn of him how to heal the sick according to metaphysics." On the 8th of July, Mrs. Stewart wrote Mrs. Eddy, advising her not to take the legal action against Arends that she was contemplating. Her letter also said, "Keep quiet. Don't give things to the public. Work silently, and we will work with you. Vanquish him that way, for he is daring at the same time, with the smoothest face and most angelic expression, praising you when he knows it will tell in his favor. I would not even append to my book what your husband has written, true as it is, but reserve all that for some other time and place. Don't place it within the same covers with that which is so sacred." Mrs. Stewart was merely repeating the same human opinion that had caused Mrs. Eddy to resist the exposure of evil in the first edition of Science and Health, the same evil that said to Jesus, quote, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" End quote. But Mrs. Eddy had followed a diviner leading in 1875, and she did so now. Her mission was not to keep quiet, but to give to the public. Until now, her voice had been the only one raised against evil. Now her husband joined her in the exposure and denunciation of malpractice.